The National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribes, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theatre Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. During the past few weeks, I've had the pleasure of introducing in this series a number of good friends of the theater. Whilst the new stage play in which my wife and I are appearing was touring prior to its London presentation. Last week, we opened a season in the West End of London, and that is why it gives me a special pleasure today to appear for the first time in the play which I present. I shall each week be choosing different stories. Today's play is from the pen of Honoré de Balzac, and I'm going to play the role of Hippolyte Schinner, a young artist. The place is Paris. The time, many years ago. The title is The Purse. Yes, I am an artist. And so far as patronage and the opinion of the critics goes, I suppose you would call me a successful artist. But at the time, I had still a very long way to go, though at least I had begun to sell my pictures. I had just moved into a new studio, the attic of a block of apartments in the Rue de Surène, nearly opposite to the Madeleine. And I was hard at work on the picture which was to be hung that year at the Paris Salon. The subject of the picture was Esther before Ahasuerus. And you may remember that the canvas was a large one, some 8 feet high by 12. That was why I was standing on the ladders, finishing the top right-hand corner.
My dear man, the whole conception's magnificent.
You think so? Good. I feel rather pleased with it myself.
Worthy of Titian himself in his best period.
I'd sooner you said Tintoretto.
Very well, then. Worthy of Tintoretto. It's large enough to be by him as well.
Well, at least it's the largest I've done. I had to buy these ladders before I could start it.
Well, you might have got some better ones while you were at it. They don't look very safe to me.
Oh, they're safe enough. So long as I don't forget where I am and take a step backwards to get a look at what I'm doing, as I nearly did yesterday.
Oh. Well, I must be going back to my pan and sittings. We'll see you at the Cheval Rouge next week. Au revoir.
Au revoir. Just a little bit more of this sepia to balance the glow of the lamp. That's better. And now heighten the gleam on that helmet here. Yes, I think that should be just about right. Wait a minute. Let me see what it is.
Let me bathe his head again, my dear. A little more of the hartshorn.
Yes.
There.
Where am I? What happened?
Everything's all right, monsieur. You fell and hit your head on the stool there.
I fell?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, it's coming back to me now. I was painting on the ladder. I must have fallen off it. Or stepped back. Yes, that was it. Just as Suchet said.
Yes, now, please rest. You might have hurt yourself very badly.
Can you move your arms and legs, monsieur? You're not hurt anywhere else?
No, I think I'm quite all right. Apart
from... Are you
sure? My head, is it a...
Oh, it is nothing.
God, and then my shoulder, they're bruised, I think. But how did you come to be here?
We live in the apartment below. We heard a crash and we thought we heard a groan. We came up to see if someone had an accident and found the key in the door, so we came in and found you, monsieur.
Very kind, mademoiselle. And you, madame.
You are lucky to be no more badly hurt, monsieur. I think you must have broken your fall on the lay figure there. Now, tomorrow you must put on blisters or apply leeches and drink a few cups of some restorative. And you must lie down and rest. If you feel any pain by the morning, we will fetch a surgeon. Ah,
thank you, madame, but I really feel much better. I will lie down and rest for a few minutes. Then I shall be quite all right again.
We will leave you then. Au revoir, monsieur.
Au revoir, madame. Mademoiselle.
Au revoir, monsieur. Come, Adelaide.
Yes, mamma.
The girl's name was Adelaide. A pretty girl, about 20, with the look of one of Proudhon's nymphs.
That must have been Mademoiselle Le Seigneur and her mother, monsieur. They've lived here now for about 4 years. Between you and me, we can't make them out at all.
How do you mean?
We can't make out what the ladies do. They have an old charwoman comes to help them in the morning, but she's quite deaf and doesn't talk any more than a stone wall. In the evening, two or three gentlemen come to call.
Gentlemen? Young gentlemen?
No, monsieur. Old gentlemen. One of them keeps a carriage and servants, and people do say that he's got 60,000 francs a year. Well, they spend the whole evening here and often stay very late.
Oh, I see.
The ladies are very quiet tenants, like you, monsieur, and economical. They live on nothing. As soon as they get a letter, they pay their rent. It's queer, monsieur, but the mother takes the daughter out for a walk in the Tuileries every morning. Mademoiselle is very pretty, you may have noticed, monsieur, and often young gentlemen follow her home. But she has the door shut in their faces. And she's right, too. The landlord would never allow anyone to...
No. Well, thank you. That'll be all. Thank you very much.
Yes, monsieur.
Good evening, mademoiselle.
Good evening, monsieur. Won't you come in? Mama, it is the gentleman from upstairs.
Oh, thank you. I called to say that I was fully recovered and to thank you for your kindness yesterday.
We are very happy to see you, monsieur.
If mademoiselle had not happened to hear me fall, I might not have been here now. That is to say, I should certainly not have been so well cared for, and I might never have known the pleasure...
Mama, hadn't I better put some more sticks in the fire?
Of course, child. Please sit down, monsieur.
Thank you.
We are very happy to make your acquaintance, even if it took an accident to bring us together.
So began the friendship, which was to bring me so much happiness and so much heartache. The room in which I found myself was tastefully furnished, but bore all the evidence of poverty that is doing its best to pass for simplicity. In my early struggles, I had known such poverty myself and all the little deceptions in which it seeks to hide. As for the old lady and her daughter, they had an air of gentility which spoke of better days. I longed to know them better and to win the right to friendship and esteem. At last, I thought that I'd found the means, for over the fireplace was a portrait. It was a solid daub of a painting, the portrait of a man in uniform.
Yes, monsieur, that is my husband, the Baron Le Seigneur de Rouville. As you see, he was a captain in the Navy. He died in battle at Batavia, fighting a British frigate. When I returned to France, Bonaparte was not yet in power, and I was refused a pension. Lately, when I applied for one again, the minister told me harshly that I had nothing to hope of the restoration either. His Excellency refused my application under some law of forfeiture. I had made the attempt only because some friends urged me to it, and for the sake of my daughter.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, madame. But I see that the painting is already fading. Before long, the colors will quite have gone. I should be honored if you would allow me to copy the painting for you on canvas.
Oh, you are very kind, monsieur. But I am sure you must be far too busy with your other work.
Please, madame, I should enjoy the work as a welcome change for what I'm engaged on at the moment.
Oh, as you wish, monsieur. The door, Adelaide. It must be the Comte. Will you let him in?
Yes, mamma. Excuse me, monsieur.
I will get the cards ready, if monsieur will help me.
I had already noticed the card table by the wall, and had wondered to see it there, as also the pack of cards that was obviously so often used. Also the scoring pad and the counters. Now there was the sudden gleam in the old lady's eyes, the eagerness with which she prepared to receive her guests, and the voices of the guests themselves. Suddenly I was filled with a jealous suspicion. Who were these guests who sounded so familiar with the daughter out there in the anteroom? For that matter, who was the old lady who called herself a baroness and who lives here in such an unlikely setting? And were the cards and the counters there for more than a friendly game of piquet? Were they perhaps the means by which the old lady made her living?
Bye, Monsieur Le Comte. You are too gallant. Now, let me present Monsieur Hippolyte Schinner,
He is a neighbor and a painter.
I am honored, monsieur.
Thank you,
and,
sir.
And the Chevalier de Halga?
Servant, sir. Your servant, sir.
Well, Comte, are we ready for our little game?
Of course, madame. And tonight I hope to be revenged for my losses of the last few weeks.
It is all in the luck of the game. Now, draw up your chairs, gentlemen. Oh, shall I deal?
Please. So you are a painter, monsieur?
Yes, the painter who will soon be very famous. He is going to do us a new portrait of my father. A very copy of the one that was done in India.
He's very kind, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. The ladies have been very kind to me, and I'm happy to have the chance of repaying them.
Indeed. It's my turn to discard, madame.
Of course. Have you aces?
Yes, madame. Mark one.
Don't you want me to advise you, Monsieur le Comte? You know how carelessly you play.
No, my dear. Stay over there where I can see you. It'll double my losses to be deprived of those bright eyes.
You were better advised to keep your mind on the game, my friend.
I shall need better luck in the hands I'm dealt, madame. I can do little enough with this one. Look, Pierre's here, a quick.
As the game wore on, I became more and more suspicious. Was it merely that I was jealous of the familiarity with which the old gentleman played while his friend stood behind him, watching every turn of the game, and smiling in his turn at the girl who sat beside her mother? At last, the game came to an end.
Oh, well, I've lost again, I see. Deuce, take it. Another 40 francs, madame. I really am no match for you.
Oh, it is the luck of the game, my friend.
No, 11 o'clock already. We must be going. Come, Duelga.
I must be going, madame. I had no idea it was so late. Good night, monsieur le comte.
Good night.
Good night, monsieur.
Good night.
Long I lay awake, thinking over the events of the evening. What could one make of them? What could one make of the old lady, the Baroness? Face was like the apartment where she lived, and it was just as hard to know whether the poverty of the latter covered hidden vices or honest simplicity. Well, I was a simple enough young man myself, and a young man fallen hopelessly in love. Whatever the truth might be, no matter what part in her life the old Comte might happen to play, Adelaide had enslaved me. The very next morning, I knocked at their door again. Good morning, mademoiselle.
Good morning, monsieur.
Excuse me, I called to collect the portrait of your father.
Oh, of course. Won't you come in? I'm afraid Mama is out for a walk.
Perhaps I'm disturbing you.
Oh, no, please. Please do sit down. It is very kind of you to offer to paint again for us. I'm afraid it was never a very good likeness.
Well, you must help me to make the likeness more true, mademoiselle. May I help you?
Oh, please, monsieur. I'm not quite
Let me stand on this chair. I'll take good care of it. Please tell the Baroness that it'll be quite safe in my studio.
Thank you, monsieur. You are very kind.
It's a great pleasure, mademoiselle. I will return it soon.
Mama will be sorry to have missed you.
I will call and pay my respects, mademoiselle, this evening.
She will be very happy to see you again.
And will you do something for me, mademoiselle? Something more?
Oh, but of course, monsieur, if I can.
Please, will you teach me to play piquet? I've never played cards in my life.
But of course, monsieur, it will be a pleasure. Then you, too, can play with Mama.
In a moment, we continue Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
After taking just a moment to remind you to hear tonight's family drama series, The Marriage, starring that brilliant team, Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy, as the delightful Marriotts. Oh, and tonight, Emily Marriott considers membership in a high school sorority, while her parents try to conceal their disapproval. Well, we'd like to preview the fine listening entertainment tomorrow on NBC. For tomorrow, celebrated maestro Arturo Toscanini returns to conduct the world-famous NBC Symphony in a program of Brahms and Richard Strauss. Later Sunday, there's top drama in store when that delightful husband-wife acting team Lily Palmer and Rex Harrison share the spotlight in the fast-paced comedy 20th Century on NBC Star Playhouse. And then for an imaginative tale of the pre-World War II era, join the make-believe drama Stroke of Fate. Hear what might have happened if the French had expelled Hitler from the Rhineland when the dictator entered the area in 1936. Hear how this one stroke of fate might have altered the course of the entire world. And remember to hear the latest two-hour edition of Weekend, your Sunday newspaper of the air. It's something new in radio journalism when the nation's top commentators and personalities combine their talents to keep you posted on everything from cover stories to home and fashion features. Such notables as Elmo Roper, Merrill Muller, and Earl Godwin bring you all the local and world news. And you'll hear John Mason Brown with reports on the theater. Also, Tex and Jinx McCrary with feature items. That's Weekend, this Sunday on NBC. And for high adventure on the Western Plains, join screen favorite Jimmy Stewart as slow-talking, fast-shooting Britt Ponsett, who sets out to restore law and order to a peaceful Western Valley on Six Shooter. And later Sunday, you'll enjoy your genial MC, Jimmy Wallington, as he interviews popular screen favorites on his Ask Hollywood show. Hear personal answers to your questions about Filmland's top stars. So remember, for the tops in radio entertainment, stay tuned to NBC. And now we continue Theater Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
No doubt about one thing. I had fallen desperately in love with Adelaide. And I had reason to believe that she was not altogether indifferent to me. Her eyes became more tender and our glances more intimate each time we met. And we now met every evening in the presence of our mother over a game of cards. But it was more than the evenings which we shared. Every day as I moved about my studio, I thought of her in the room below and knew that she must be thinking of me. For never before had I worked so easily or so noisily. And at last the morning came when I could call upon her at an hour when I knew her mother would be out. Good morning, mademoiselle.
Good morning, monsieur.
I've finished my copy of your father's portrait. May I show it to you?
But of course, monsieur, please, come. I'm afraid Mama is taking her walk. But
before I hang it, you must tell me whether it is a good likeness or not. Where I've strayed from the original. I've always tried to make it resemble you.
It is a wonderful painting, monsieur. And from what I can remember of Papa, a better likeness than the other.
Thank you, mademoiselle.
It will make my mother very happy.
Your mother only?
Well, as for me, I am already too happy, monsieur.
I only wish it were in my power.
Monsieur, I think I can hear my mother coming. Shall we see you again this evening so that she may thank
you? Well, of course, mademoiselle. As always. As always. Every evening I called at their apartment. And every evening the comedy was repeated. Cards were called for, the card table was set up, and the inevitable game of piquet began. Sometimes it was I who played with the Baroness. Sometimes it was Monsieur le Comte, for he was no less regular in his attendance upon her than I was. But whoever it was that played with her, the Baroness continued to win. Some 20 francs a night.
I fear you are still too new to the game, Monsieur. Your luck will improve as you go more comfortable.
I'm afraid I'm still far better at filling a canvas, madame.
Ah, yes. Monsieur Schoeneff was kind enough to paint me that copy of an old portrait of my late husband, Comte.
Indeed.
You knew him well. Isn't it a wonderful likeness?
Marvelous, madame. I gladly give 500 pistoles for a portrait as like myself as that's like Rouville. 500 pistoles.
If I were a portrait painter, Monsieur le Comte, I should not have painted that copy. I don't accept such commission.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Madame, shall we go on?
Very well. Six kings.
Six kings it is. I think my luck may be rather better than our young friend here.
Once again, my jealousy made me suspicious. Never had the old lady played more eagerly or shown more desire to win. Was she hoping to pay some debt or was she driven by some necessity? The Comte seemed far too worldly wise to let her win his money for nothing. What interest brought him to her apartment at all? Might it not be Adelaide? And were not his familiarities to her his right, perhaps? Was she herself deceiving me? I watched him with all the jealous hatred of a man who almost believed himself deceived.
Now, what am I telling, Monsieur le Comte? You should have let me advise you. Now you've lost again. 10 and 3 and 1 for the last trick. 10 for the most and 30 for capote. 38 francs, my friend. A bad evening for you, after all.
Unlucky at cards, they say. One day I shall claim my revenge. Come, Duhalgar, we must be going. You too, sir, I should imagine. Or do you artists keep later hours than ordinary
folks? We have much in common, I think, sir. Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night.
Good night, madame. But even before I had climbed the stairs to my studio, I remembered it. My purse.
Excuse
Excuse me for disturbing you, mademoiselle. I'm afraid I forgot my purse.
Your purse, monsieur? Are you sure?
Yes, I remember I left it on the card table. It must still be there.
Oh, but no, monsieur.
But I could have sworn.
Well, as you see, monsieur, it is not there.
Monsieur must have made a mistake, I think.
Yes. Yes, I must have made a mistake. I must have left it somewhere else. Good night, mademoiselle. Madame, I'm sorry to have disturbed you. My purse had been stolen. For 15 louis d'or and a few odd francs. The robbery had been so flagrant and then so impudently denied that I could no longer have any doubts as to the real character of my neighbors. I stood outside their door on the stairs, my legs trembling, my head swimming, my mind crowded with accusing thoughts, each small enough in itself, but all adding up to a horrible certainty. Adelaide, the girl I had come to love, was a thief. I only longed to believe that she was nothing worse.
Dear fellow, perhaps you never took the purse there with you at all.
Of course I took it with me. How else could I have paid what I lost?
Well, then, perhaps you'd knocked it off the table when you got up to leave, and, well, maybe it had fallen under your chair.
It was on the table. I'm quite sure about that. No, they picked it up and hid it as soon as I left the room. I'm certain of it. Mm. The look on their faces, both of them, when I went back to inquire for it. They knew it was there, where they'd hidden it.
Well, there it is, then. The girl's what you said she was.
Yes, and I still love her. I shall always love her.
Oh, come, after all, dear boy.
I shall always love her. After all, who am I to judge? What do I know about the reason they had for stealing it? Maybe they were desperate. Maybe they were in debt and had to repay it, or something terrible. I don't know. After all, I've been poor myself. I know what it means and what it can do to you when you're at your wit's end.
Well, I suppose that's true enough. But who are they anyway, she and her mother? Do I know them? Do they live around here?
They live in the room below us. The mother said that she's the Baroness, and the daughter, Adelaide...
But good heavens, yes, of course. The old Baroness and her pretty daughter. But, my dear fellow, they're quite notorious. Well, you don't really believe she's a Baroness, do you?
I don't know. She seems to be.
Living on a fourth floor? Well, hardly, you know. Why, we see her every day in the Tuileries. That face of hers and the way she carries herself should have told you. But surely you knew what she was from the way she carries her bag.
I don't know. After all...
As for the girl, we're all after her. You know, she goes each morning to the Assumption, don't you?
Well... Stop it, Suchet.
But we all know her. Why, Jacques follows her home every day. If it wasn't for that old dragon of a concierge you've got...
Well, you can't suggest anything to me about her that I haven't already imagined myself. What do you think I lie awake all night thinking about?
Well, there you are, then.
I've asked myself 100 times, what brings the old Comte there every evening? A man worth 80,000 francs a year. Why does he lose 20 or 30 francs a night to a mother?
Why? Well, I should have thought that was only too obvious, dear boy.
I still can't quite believe it. Not of her. If only you'd seen her, the frankness in her eyes, the innocence, the sweetness, the utter goodness in her.
When she stole your purse?
No, that was the only time I've seen her look somehow ill at ease.
I'm not surprised at that.
But yet even so, I can't really believe it of her. I almost wish I could. Then perhaps it wouldn't hurt me so much.
Well, there's none so blind.
What she is. I love her in spite of everything. Aren't I in a position to help her? Why should I leave her when she needs me most of all? To be kind to someone we love, is there anything wrong in that? Is there anything to be ashamed of? Isn't it good to know that we love so much we can still be in love when others would have ceased to love? Oh, Adelaide. Adelaide. I've tried to forget you. For a week I've stayed away from you. I can't stay away anymore. I can't. Good evening, mademoiselle.
Good evening, monsieur. I thought it...
But you look so pale and thin. Have you been ill?
Oh, no, monsieur, thank you. Won't you come in? Mama, it's Monsieur Sheena.
Come in, monsieur. You are quite a stranger. But then I dare say you have been working too hard. You look so...
I have been very busy, madame.
I'm afraid that must be our fault, monsieur. Copying our portrait must have taken up too much of your time, and you have had to catch up with your real work.
I've been busy, yes, but I've also been very upset.
Did you think that was no concern of ours,
well,
monsieur?
Well, forgive me, madame. There are things we suffer that we cannot tell anyone about, not even those we've known for a long time.
Friendship cannot be measured by time. I'm afraid Adelaide also has been busy.
Mademoiselle looks unwell. I told her so.
Oh, no, not really. She insisted on sitting up two or three nights to finish a piece of work she was doing. She wouldn't listen to me when I told her that a day or two, more or less, would make no difference.
But, mademoiselle, you should take more care of yourself. It's foolish not to...
It was nothing, monsieur. Perhaps I was too anxious.
Well, she will recover. Would you care for another game of cards, monsieur? Perhaps you have come for your revenge.
Of course, madame. Let me fetch the table. I see the cards are ready.
Have you kings, monsieur?
Mark two, madame. You're still too good for me, madame. I see I've lost again. 5 francs.
Here is your purse, monsieur.
My purse, mademoiselle?
Well, the new purse that I made for you. Your old one was so frayed, you did leave it on the table that night.
But what exquisite embroidery.
I think you will find that your money is safely inside it.
Oh, mademoiselle, how can I ever...
I'm afraid I had to deceive you just a little, but it was the only way I could repay your kindness to us for the portrait.
Ah, that must be the comte. Will you let him in, my dear?
Yes, Mama. Oh, perhaps Monsieur would...
Yes, of course. Excuse me, madame.
Really, my dear? What can you be thinking of?
I think the Comte has something he wishes to tell Monsieur Schiner in private.
Oh, you mean a commission?
I don't know, Mama. Perhaps.
Monsieur.
Good evening.
The ladies expect you. May I help you with your coat?
Oh, thank you, monsieur.
It's not quite so cold tonight, I think.
No, not quite so cold.
No.
May I take you into my confidence over a little matter, monsieur? I see you're now an accepted member of my old friend's family.
Very kind, sir.
It's rather difficult to know just how to put it, but I think you may be wondering why I come here so often and lose quite so regularly at cards to this dear lady.
Really, sir, I assure you...
The fact is, she's the widow of a very good friend of mine who died honorably for his country. For some reason, his country has seen fit to treat his widow shamefully, to leave her virtually starving. The Baroness is a proud woman. She's never complained of her treatment, and she's absolutely refused all offers of assistance from those who revere her husband's memory. There's only the one way that I know to help her, without her realizing that I'm doing so. Do I make myself clear?
Monsieur le Comte, you've made yourself so clear that I... Oh, what a fool I've been.
We are all fools, monsieur, at times. Shall we join the lady?
This is Laurence Olivier again. I should like to express my thanks to the members of the cast, who included Anne Goodrin in the role of Adelaide, Thea Wells as La Baronne, her mother, Keith Pyatt as the Count, together with Robert Rietti and Stephen Jack. Next week, I look forward once again to the pleasure of your company, when I shall introduce and appear in another play. Until then, au revoir, and thank you.
Laurence Olivier starred in today's transcribed program. The script was by Derek Tatmore. The music was under the direction of Sidney Tork. Theatre Royal is an NBC presentation, produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.
Tonight, hear Hollywood Story on the NBC Radio Network.